Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Network Saturday, September 15th, 2018. This is episode 1523. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans, introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. Learn more and get started at rocketmortgage.com/techguy.
Welcome to the Tech Guy. I'm Rich DeMuro, filling in today for Leo Laporte. Thanks so much for joining me. So happy to have you here to talk about technology for the next few hours. All good things happening in technology. Your mobile phone, your computer, your tablet, the little gadgets you have at home that you don't really understand how to use. Don't worry, I'm with you. Sometimes I don't know either. I'm Rich DeMuro, like I said, filling in today for Leo Laporte, and it is my pleasure to be sitting here at Leo's desk and to chat with you guys for the next couple of hours. Leo on vacation, and I'm just happy to be here. So we're going to talk tech. This is one of the biggest weeks in the tech world. I mean, if not the biggest. You have one of the biggest companies in the world, Apple, with one of the most popular, if not the most popular tech product, announcing what's new, what's next. And we get to talk about it. And I know a lot of you maybe have placed your pre-orders for a new iPhone, or maybe you're wondering which iPhone to get. We're going to talk all about that stuff. But first, let me tell you about me for a second, just so you know who I am, who's talking to you today. I'm Rich DeMuro. I'm the tech reporter at KTLA Channel 5 in Los Angeles. So if you're listening in LA, you know who I am from the TV. If you're listening somewhere else, welcome. You might have seen me. I'm syndicated as well. So I'm on in a bunch of different markets, Cleveland, Chicago, New Orleans, New York, all over the place. And it's my pleasure to talk about this stuff on a weekly basis. I'm on TV every day in the morning, bright and early, talking about tech on the morning shows across the nation. And here we are on the weekend now doing the same thing. But this was a fun week. I was up north in Cupertino this week at Apple's campus, their new spaceship campus. It's just amazing. I was there last year for the launch of the iPhone X. That was the first event they had at the Steve Jobs Theater. And this year, we came back up to the Steve Jobs Theater for the second launch of a flagship product, which is now the XS, the XS Max, and the it's written X, so it's really tough because you see the X, you see 10X, but really you have to remember it's not the X, even though lots of people still call it the iPhone X. It's not. It's iPhone XR. And those are the three models that we have this week that a lot of people are now wondering, do I need to upgrade? Should I upgrade? What's new with these devices? And the easiest way I can explain what's new with the devices, imagine they took the iPhone X and just expanded upon that. So now you have three devices. There's no such thing as a home button anymore with the newest, latest iPhones. Apple is done with the home button. It's not coming back. Just like they got rid of the headphone jack, the Face ID, the way you aim your phone at your face and it scans the little intricate details of your face and unlocks your phone, that's what it's all about now. That's where Apple is headed. And it works pretty well. And in fact, it works even better on the new devices. So when you think about these new devices, just think iPhone X, the first one, which looks identical to last year's iPhone X, the iPhone XS, is basically the same, just with improved insides. So I'll talk about that in a second. Then you have this new one, iPhone XS Max. And yes, it sounds like a drink that you might buy at the gas station, right? Remember Pepsi Max? That cola that had, I used to drink it a lot. It was kind of like their answer to Red Bull. It had a lot more caffeine in the Pepsi drink. It was in a black can. And now, which is kind of funny because a guy from Pepsi used to run Apple back in the day, but I don't think that had anything to do with this naming convention. But that's the name of it. They dropped the plus. Now, personally, I think Apple could have been just fine by calling it the iPhone XS Plus, because we understand that the Plus is the larger model. And now you have to think, you got to change your thinking once again and think, okay, it's the Max. Well, Max sounds very different than Plus. So what's the difference? And to be honest, there's not much of a difference. So if you look at the iPhone XS Max, it's literally identical to the iPhone 8 Plus, except the screen takes up the entire front of the device now. Because you've lost that home button, you now can push the screen all the way to the edges. And so you get this 6.5-inch screen, which sounds enormous. It's the largest screen Apple has ever offered on one of their devices. But the difference is, it's the same size in your hand. And I held this thing because we went hands-on at the event. They always do the event. They do the presentation. And then all the reporters, some wall moves. And now you have this great room that you get to go into with a whole bunch of phones. And it's literally a free-for-all. You go in there and you just have to find a phone to latch onto and do all your videos and record it. And that's when you see all these videos that I posted to YouTube and Facebook where I'm holding this thing. You only get a couple of minutes because someone else is breathing down your neck to get their hands on that phone. So what's improved? You've got a faster chip. Of course, every year we get a faster chip. This is the A12 Bionic. And yeah, Apple does a great job with these chips because they designed them to work with the iPhone. So what does the chip do? It gives you faster face IDs. Your face is going to unlock this phone faster than ever before. There's better stereo sound. There's new colors. They have a new gold color. So remember, the iPhone used to be offered in gold? Well, now it's back. Gold again. And it's kind of a different gold. It's a shinier gold, if you ask me. It's pretty nice. Dual SIM. This is the feature that I think most of you listening will find really interesting, because if you carry around two phones for work and play, you know, one's your personal, one's your work, this is a really interesting feature because now you can activate both those phone lines on one device. So you don't have to carry around two phones. Apple calls it dual SIM. This is something that's been available overseas in a lot of foreign countries for a while, but it's been very slow to kind of take off here in the U.S. But the way they're accomplishing it is you don't actually put two little SIM cards. And if you might even not be familiar with what a SIM card is, it's kind of like a little card that you pop into your phone that identifies your phone on the cellular network. So if you're an AT&T or T-Mobile customer, you're probably pretty familiar with them. Verizon and Sprint don't make as much of a big deal out of these things, but there is one in your phone. So one of those now goes in your phone. The other one is called an eSIM. And Apple is able to activate a second line on the major carriers with what's called an eSIM. It's not actually a physical SIM card that's in your phone. So that's pretty cool. You've got better water resistance. Now Apple says your phone can resist coffee and tea and soda. So it's IP68, they call it. That's kind of the geek term for it. 2 meters at 30 minutes. So if you drop your phone and you forget about it in a pool of water for 30 minutes, you'd be okay. Personally, I know you can do this, but you still don't want to keep... It's not an underwater device. This is not a phone that you're taking pictures underwater or recording video for long periods of time underwater. That's not really what this is meant for. It's really meant for accidents and just splashes and things like you can bring it to the pool and be okay. And I've done that with my iPhone X, and it's just fine. It does have a little bit of a newer camera. It's got a new sensor and a new feature they call Smart HDR. And this is what I'm most excited about. I didn't have too much time to test this when I went hands-on. They only give you a little bit of time, maybe an hour with the phones. But they take a bunch of pictures now all at once, and they merge all that data from the pictures into something that looks really good. So instead of just taking one picture, it takes a lot. All at once, you don't see all these pictures, but the phone does, and it kind of looks at the data from those pictures, and it says, what data can we use from this picture or this frame to make this picture look even better? The highs, the lows, all that stuff. And it puts those all together. Battery life, a little bit better. 30 minutes longer for the XS, an hour and a half longer for the XS Max. You'll still be charging it by the end of the day if you're using it like me, which is a lot. What else? You can now control the amount of background blur in your portrait mode pictures. Portrait mode is just a fun little thing to do with these cameras. And now you can adjust. Do you want it to look really blurry? Do you want it to look somewhat blurry? And you can adjust that after you take the picture. So if you want to get more creative with your pictures, you can do that. So how much, you ask? Oh, yes, this is the big important question. 64 gigs, 256, and 512 gigabytes of storage on your phone. That's half a terabyte. Starts at $999, goes all the way up to $1,450. But a lot of people are just buying these things on these monthly pricing plans anyway. $50 a month, $55 a month. They're going to be available Friday, September 21st, so you really don't have to wait too long. So that's the top-level stuff you need to know about the iPhone XS, XS Max. I am open to your questions about these. We're going to open up the phone lines. 888-ASK-LEO, 1-888-827-5536. Join me on the phones, and we'll talk tech. I'm Rich DeMuro. You are listening to The Tech Guy. More of your calls, or your calls, coming up next. 888-ASK-LEO. Hop on the phone lines right now. We'll talk tech. Welcome back to The Tech Guy. Rich DeMuro with you here this weekend, filling in for Leo Laporte. Thanks so much for joining me. If you don't know who I am, I'm the tech reporter at KTLA 5 News in Los Angeles, and we're going to talk tech this weekend. And the way we do that is on the phone, 1-888-ASK-LEO, 1-888-827-5536. Let me bring in the lovely and talented Kim Schaffer. She will be fielding your calls when you call in. Kim, how you doing?
Good. Welcome back to Northern California. You've been spending a lot of time here, I assume, though, with the Apple announcement.
Yeah, I was just here last week, and then I came up here this weekend, and then, of course, Apple wants me to come back this... Well, actually, I can't talk about that, but you know what I mean? It's just
you
like...
You have to be here next weekend,
I got to be here next weekend, but you know, here's the thing. It's not like I have to. It's amazing up here. This is, to me, like, it's the fall. Southern California, the weather is a little bit different than here. This is like, this to me is fall. So I feel like I can have a pumpkin spice latte.
It's starting to get a little bit chilly at night.
Yeah. I mean, it's just different here. So I'm all about Halloween right now. I might even dress up for tomorrow's show. No, I'm just kidding.
A little early.
My kids want me to decorate the house already. And I'm like, I would like to, but we'll do it next weekend or after I get back next weekend.
There you go.
So how are the phone lines going? Are they lighting up?
They are lighting up. And okay, we have Dale in Santa Monica. He's got multiple contact lists on, sounds like, several devices and wants to know if you know of a way to consolidate them or some program to put them all in one place.
Okay, let's go to
duplicates.
This is a problem in everyday life, duplicates with our online world. It's like, we'll talk about this. Let's bring up Dale. Dale in Santa Monica, you're on with Rich.
So I didn't realize until recently, in the office we use Microsoft Outlook. I use an iPad for most of my just fooling around on the internet, and I've got a contact list on each one, and I don't know how to get the two together.
So you use Outlook on your PC at work, and right. You use an iPad at home, you're saying?
Right.
And so what's happening with the contacts on here?
I've got an Apple contact list, and I've got an Outlook contact list.
And you want to merge them. So when you look in your contacts, you've got some people in both and some people in one, some people in the other. Is that what you're saying?
I think that's what I've got. I don't know.
Oh, you don't even know. So you're just, okay.
The thing is, I haven't looked at it that closely, but they're not syncing with each other.
They're not syncing.
As far as I know.
Okay. Well, they're both on there. So, okay. Here's what I would say. And this is a problem. I mean, this whole idea of having multiple things in multiple places is really tough. And the other thing is, are you using, so you said an iPad, what do you use for your phone?
This is kind of an odd situation. I've got a flip phone from the organization I work for.
Do you work for the government? Are you top secret?
I work for a church.
Okay, got it.
So I did have an iPhone, but believe it or not, it stopped responding to the touch.
Hmm. Okay.
And the new iPhones weren't out yet, and I had gotten used to having something with a map on it and something with sort of a to-do list on it. And so I got a Moto G6.
Oh, okay. That's a nice little phone. But
it's not hooked up to the internet. I'm on Wi-Fi only at home.
Okay. Well, yeah, you can still put your contacts on there, but we're mostly concerned with getting multiple contact lists merged into one.
Right.
So here's what I think the easiest thing to do is, there's a couple ways you can do it. I mean, there's a manual way where you can export, your contact list. Now, do you have a computer?
Right.
What kind of computer?
It's a Mac Pro.
Oh, it's a Mac. Okay. So what I would do is I'd probably take advantage of the Mac to do the heavy lifting, right? So in on the Mac computer, you have an app called Contacts, right?
Right, right.
And so what I would do is I would, number one, sync all these contacts to your Mac computer by going into your preferences and adding those accounts. You can add your Outlook account, and then you can add your iCloud account, which is if you have contacts on your iPad, they might be stored in iCloud. That's what I'm guessing. So unless you synced your Outlook to your iPad as well. But here's the thing. So I think the iPhone doesn't really do a good job of showing you where your contact is located. It just kind of gives you a big list of everything. On your Mac computer, it's going to give you a little bit better of an idea of where your contacts are, because on the left side, you'll actually see a listing that says, like right now I'm looking at mine, it says all contacts, which merges everything into one list, even if they're not merged. And then it has all on my Mac, which are things that are just stored on my Mac, which on mine is just 5 contacts. And then it says Google. And so I can see all my Google contacts. And then I can edit these as well. So what I would recommend doing is getting all these things onto this contacts app and then going through and kind of dragging and dropping and moving your contacts and editing them in a way where you have them all in just the list that you want. And for me, I'd probably recommend using Google or iCloud, one or the other. Or Outlook. If you're using Outlook and it's synced kind of your work, you want to use that. But just pick one and kind of use that and import the rest into there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I opened up Contacts on my Mac.
Okay.
It doesn't have Google on there.
Well, it depends if you've brought those in yet. So you have to go into your preferences. So if you go into your preferences and it says accounts, then you can add your accounts. So right now on mine, personally, I just have Google and iCloud. If I wanted my work Outlook, you can just press the plus sign and add. You can add iCloud, Exchange, Google, Facebook, okay, LinkedIn, Yahoo, AOL, or whatever else you have. And that works pretty much the same way whether you're on any platform you're on. If you're on Windows, if you're on a Mac, if you're on a PC. But here's my bigger thing, Dale, is that this is almost unnecessary. Unless you're really a neat freak about your contacts, we've come to the place in our world where everything is accessible in all the different places. And as long as you're adding these things and you have access to all of them, you can kind of see what contact you need at the time you need it. So you don't really, if you have duplicates, your phone is kind of going to show you both, but it doesn't really matter that much. And this is something, I'm just saying this because it's been on my project list to go through all my contacts and kind of clean them up, but I just don't. Because I'm like, you know what, when I need a number, I just look at my phone or my computer and it's there, you know?
That sounds like the easiest thing to do. Just let it go.
Yeah, just kind of let it go. It's the same thing I'm doing with my pictures. So one of these days, Dale, we will get super organized. Thanks so much for the call.
Okay, thank you.
You're listening to Rich DeMuro filling in today for Leo Laporte on The Tech Guy. More of your calls at 8888 Ask Leo after this. Welcome back to The Tech Guy. TechGuyLabs.com is the website to go to if you want to kind of get the notes on everything we talk about here in the show. You don't have to reach for a pen or a pencil or whatever. Just go to TechGuyLabs.com and search for a keyword of whatever you heard mentioned. You can just find kind of a little write-up about what we mentioned, the links we talked about, the programs, the solutions, whatever you need. It's all there, techguylabs.com. My name is Rich DeMuro. I'm filling in for Leo Laporte today. Happy to be here with you, and happy to welcome to the show Scott Wilkinson. Scott is our resident home theater geek. Scott, thanks so much for joining me.
Hey, Pat. Pleasure to be here. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Doing good.
Okay.
Just got back from the Cedia trade show.
Cedia. Explain what that is.
Mm-hmm. It's CEDIA, the Custom Electronics Design and Installation Association. Much easier to say
that's,
Cedia.
That's easy. That just rolls off the tongue there.
Well, so, the thing is, it's a show for custom home builders, basically. It's not only home theater, which is what I focus on, but it's also central air and heat. It's a smart home. It's IoT. There was a ton of that, of course, as you can imagine. Internet of Things. Everything's connected now. So plenty of that there. I focus on audio and video products because there's quite a bit of that there. You know, people build home theaters, and they want stuff in their home theaters to have a movie experience at home. So I focus on that. The video displays are more projectors than flat panels. Flat panels, like LCD TVs or OLED TVs, we see more at CES in January. But Cedia is more for projectors, for higher-end home theaters. And this year, one of the big themes at the show was, believe it or not, 8K.
The elusive 8K.
Now, 4K, which we've now had for a few years, is coming along nicely. And we're getting more and more content in 4K. And that 4K refers to the resolution on the screen, how many pixels are on the screen.
And what's important let me just jump in about important about this. For the average person, you're sitting there, you're like, we don't need 8K. We just got 4K. We just got HD. But here's the thing. As these screens get bigger, the higher resolution will come into play. And because it used to be, I remember when HD first came out, it was like a 42-inch plasma was like your standard, right?
Right.
Now people in their homes, they're going 65, 55, 65. And we're going to keep pushing up. And so that's why, if you're thinking to yourself, Rich, we don't need 8K. Yes, we do eventually. So right now we may not, but we will. Well, you tell me your take. But this is...
This is the question, of course. And with a projector, it makes more sense because you're projecting a pretty large image typically. I mean, we saw hundreds of inches of image there. Now, that's not going to be many home theaters aren't going to have, a 300-inch screen. But even 150 or so, can you see the difference between 4K and 8K? It's subtle. However, 8K gives you a number of other advantages, like better upscaling, better motion. So things will look better in 8K. And the other thing about 8K that comes along from 4K really is high dynamic range, HDR. That you can see on any size screen, and it greatly improves the picture. So we're gonna continue to see that, and that's really important. Are we going to see any 8K content? Not for a while. All of these 8K displays that are coming on are going to be upscaling, that is taking a lower resolution signal like 4K or even 1080p high definition, which now seems kind of yucky.
Yeah. I've been digitizing old analog tapes. I'm working with 480 right now. Oh my gosh, you don't realize how bad it was.
Exactly.
I remember watching my first DVD and thinking, this is amazing. This is so clear. And now you pop one of those in and you can't believe how bad it looks.
You can't believe how bad it looks. That's right. Well, we went from standard definition to high definition to ultra high definition or 4K. And now we're heading towards 8K.
Wow.
And it's inevitable. I think it's being driven by the manufacturers. The manufacturers of TVs and projectors, they want to be able to say, oh, our thing is now 8K. It's twice as good. So, regardless of what the motivation might be, it's coming and it's going to be here very soon. In fact, we saw several examples of it at Cedia. The most interesting to me was from a company called Digital Projection, which makes very high-end projectors. They have the InSight Laser 8K. It's the only true 8K that we saw at the show. It has actually 33 million pixels, separate, discrete pixels on the screen at the not quite the same time.
Scott,
but very close.
I want to know, did you count them?
No.
Okay. Then how do we truly know that there were 3 million?
33 million.
Oh, 33 million. Oh my gosh. That would take you a lifetime.
Exactly.
We'll take their word for it.
We will. Now, this projector looked awesome, and it was on a huge screen. And the cost, one might ask, $400,000.
Wow. Are they selling? Is this a prototype, or are they selling this thing?
Believe it or not, it's intended for commercial applications like flight simulators and high-res medical stuff. But they told me at the show that one consumer bought one for their home theater.
Wow.
Yeah.
I want to. What's that guy do for a living or girl?
Yeah, really. I want to do that. Exactly.
That's amazing.
Of course, they wouldn't tell me who it was, but yeah.
But
yeah,
I could see that. Went, I mean, I could see, you know, in these high-end places, you know, I mean, $400,000, it's a lot. But I mean, if you know, look, if you have a super high-end home theater or something and you're, you know, doing pretty well, I could see someone
doing it. You're a gazillionaire.
Yeah,
sure,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you're Jeff Bezos, I'm sure he's...
Exactly.
He's like, I'll buy one for the kids.
Now, JVC had one that was much more down to earth. If you call 18,000 much more down to earth, but it is compared to 400,000.
Sure. What do they call it? The anchor product. The 400,000 is the anchor, and then you're like 400,000. No way. 18,000. Oh, that's a steal.
Oh, that's a bargain. Yeah, right. So this is from JVC, and it's using their eShift technology, which takes basically a 4K imaging chip and wiggles the pixels back and forth really quick between two different positions to simulate 8K. They do that with their, well, they have done that with 4K projectors. This year at CEDIA, they actually introduced native 4K projectors, projectors with true 4K resolution rather than this pixel wiggling, which I call it.
Pixel wiggling. I like that.
Pixel wiggling. Yeah, exactly. Sony had an interesting idea. They took two of their 4K projectors and melded them with some pretty sophisticated electronics to get not 8K, but twice 4K. They could, in fact, use that same processor to actually put together four projectors and get true 8K on the screen. Now, the projector they were using was their new 995ES, which, and that's a 4K projector, native 4K, lists for $35,000. You put four of them together, that's costing you $140,000, which is still a bargain compared to the $400,000 of the digital projection. So, I mean, CEDIA is a pretty high-end place,
yeah,
as we can tell, obviously. So,
do you see in the future, because it seems like the projector idea is kind of reserved for like the home theater kind of room. Do you see regular folks in the future getting projectors, or is it always going to be that screen? And I've got just a 30 seconds for you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the way I see projection coming into more mainstream is with what's called ultra short throw. And there's one in the studio. While you're up there, you should check it out, from Hisense, that you basically put a projector, a box, 8 inches from the wall, and it shoots up a 100-inch image onto a screen. So it's like a big flat panel TV. I think that's the way that projection is going to get into more into the mainstream.
More sits closer to the wall. Scott Wilkinson, our home theater geek, thanks so much for joining me and talking all things CEDIA. Your calls at 888-ASK-LEO. 888-ASK-LEO. Coming up next on The Tech Guy. All right, Scott, thank you so much.
Cool, man.
Appreciate it. I know we said we're going to do lunch last time. I know it's been 4 months. When I drove up here, my little Google Maps told me the last time you visited was 4 months ago.
So let's see. UJ, yes, I did see Sony's new Z9F and A9F. That is their new LCD TV and their new OLED TV in what's called the Master Series. And boy, they looked good. They looked so good. Really remarkable. What was even better, and what we didn't get a chance to talk about on the show today, maybe next week, is their crystal LED, their direct LED display, gigantic display. It used to be called Cletus, but they've changed the name, fortunately, to crystal LED. And it's basically a video wall composed of tiny little LEDs, red, green, and blue triads, tiny little ones, and it forms this gigantic wall. But they weren't the only one. They were the first one to show it at CES a couple years ago. Samsung then last year showed The Wall, which is another LED screen, video wall. But there were several others at the show as well. One of the best, actually, aside from The Wall and Sony, both Samsung and Sony were both really good, a company called Leyard, L-E-Y-A-R-D, which is the parent company of Planar, which some time ago bought Runco, so they're all sort of conglomerated now. But the Leyard video wall was stunning, just stunning. So we're going to maybe talk about that next week.
All right, Scott, you know what that means. We're coming back.
We're coming back pretty soon.
Welcome back to The Tech Guy. TechGuyLabs.com is our website. I'm Rich DeMuro. My website is richontech.tv if you want to learn more about me. I'm filling in for Leo Laporte today, who's on vacation. I'm the tech reporter for KTLA Channel 5 in Los Angeles. So happy to be here to talk tech with you. We've talked about the new iPhones. We've talked about home theater stuff. Had a couple questions about getting our contacts deduped, which is kind of a big thing we're all dealing with, right? With digital media, it's so easy to collect a lot of stuff. It's not so easy to go through all of that and kind of parse out exactly what you need. So if you have a question, I'm here for you. 1-888-ASK-LEO, 888-ASK-LEO, or 1-888-827-5536. Let's go to the phone lines, and let's see, who is number four? Let's go to Kevin in San Diego. Kevin, you have a question?
Yeah, I got a question. I've got a problem. I got a family member who's posting private information on a blog about another family member, and I've been trying to get it taken down, and I've just been having no luck with that. Like, they've been posting full name, address, phone number, all of that on a blog or website.
And this is someone you know that's doing this.
Well, it's kind of a as the world turns kind of thing. Yeah, it's my brother. There was a problem with my 80-year-old mother. They have a restraining order against him. It's a long story, kind of like an elder abuse kind of situation. And now he's posting all these things online and posting their private information on this blogger.com website. And I've tried to file, like, flags or restraints or whatever, and every single time I've done it, I get an email the day back saying that they're unable to find a problem with it or something like that, to where they couldn't help me. So I've filed 6 complaints now, and every single time, I've even sent a picture of my mother's photo ID proving that it's her, and every single time I get no response.
Well,
I get a response that says, you know, we can't help you.
Okay, well, let's go through this. Now, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't, you know, give you the legality of this, but I can say, I mean, here's the thing. Is sharing private information about someone not allowed?
I looked at their rules and regulations and things, and it says you can't post someone's address or their full name and these kind of things, and it's in bold print. And he also is kind of taking her identity because he's writing this blog in her name.
Oh, okay. Well,
so it's like on many different levels, I feel like he's breaking like these restrictions, but I'm not getting any feedback and I can't talk to anybody at Google.
Yeah, this is a general problem with all of these online services is actually getting help. Now, here's the thing. They do spring into action when they do sense that there's something wrong and a bunch of people kind of flag something. I think your best bet is realistically to continue to flag this blog. And I think, and here's the thing, like I said, I mean, legally, I mean, as a reporter, you know, we show people, the only rule that we really have as a reporter is you can't go into a private place and record, right? You can't show video. Like, I can't go into someone's house and broadcast live without their permission, or on private property, right? But when it comes to revealing people's names and addresses and phone numbers, I mean, as a courtesy, we probably wouldn't do that. But generally, unless you're slandering someone, which is, you know, speaking of them in a very ill manner, which is you know, there's very specific things on what that's all about. It's really tough to prove that just by publishing or writing as her, it could be considered parody. I mean, it does sound like it's a family thing. But what I would do is I would maybe kind of go under the harassment, because it feels like you're being harassed here or she's being harassed here by this blog. So I think that that's maybe what you have to do and take that approach with Google, who owns Blogger, right? And again, this is, you know, it's one of these things where it's kind of tough. It might take a while, but I think that that's really the route you have to go, is just you kind of have to report this every day and explain why it's wrong. But Kevin, that's a tough one, because it's someone that you know, and it's really uncomfortable. I mean, this is the thing. It's like with social media and stuff that's put online, people are putting a lot of stuff online. You know, a lot of stuff. They can share information about you that you may not want shared. And this kind of even comes down to Facebook when you think about being tagged in a picture. I mean, how many times have you been out with friends where you either have to say, you know, hey, do you mind if I tag you? Or, you know, can I tag you? Can I reveal that you're here? I mean, these are conversations that do kind of come into play nowadays. And, you know, it's just tough because it's not a third party. Like, I've had people that impersonate me on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, open up accounts and kind of copy all my pictures and post as me. And I have reported them, and you will eventually get that taken down. But here's the thing. It does take a while. It doesn't happen overnight. And what happens with these systems that Facebook and others have set up is a lot of times they will work on the first time they get a flag, you know, it probably won't raise it right to the top. But the second time, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, you know, 1,000 people flag something all at once, that will obviously bring it to the top of the queue. Because you have to imagine they've got a lot of stuff that they're dealing with, not just your, you know, the blog that you're talking about, but there are millions upon millions of pieces of content that are put out there every second. It's a good question. It really raises some interesting thoughts about what's allowed online, what's not allowed online. And realistically, we're talking, if you look at what Facebook is dealing with right now, with what is allowed on their website, and you look at Twitter and how they just took down that account of that guy who is, you know, putting hate speech or, you know, whatever it was. There are things that these companies are now dealing with that they never really had to think about in the past, because in the past, media was disseminated by large companies that sort of had ideas about what was right, what was wrong, what was admissible, what wasn't. They had lawyers. Now it's anyone can post, and these companies have to clean up the mess and try to figure out what they should allow and what they shouldn't under free speech. And also just what's right and what's wrong. Let's take George in Santa Monica. George, what's going on?
Good morning, Rich. I heard, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, is it Mark Zuckerberg was talking about putting up free Wi-Fi in satellites for everybody to use?
Yeah, I think what you're talking about is they have a couple different projects going on, but I believe that, let's see, there's one called Project Loon, and let's see, that's from Google, which they put up these big balloons that have internet, right? And what the idea is behind this is that you know, you ever seen like the Goodyear blimp, right?
Yeah.
Imagine that, but it has sort of Wi-Fi being transmitted out of the bottom, and you can blanket an area with Wi-Fi. And right. The way Facebook is doing it is, and Google, these are really meant for rural areas. They're not necessarily meant for Santa Monica where you are, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Now, I've been in Santa Monica, by the way, and internet is not very good there from the cellular connections, because there's the city has not allowed a lot of towers in, and so it made it complicated for the cellular carriers to get good internet there. So connectivity there, even though it's a big public area, is kind of tough. Beverly Hills was the same way. People don't want these giant towers in their backyard, right?
Yes.
And people have some pretty nice houses in Santa Monica and Beverly Hills. But what I see with these projects like you're talking about is, realistically, these are for more rural areas. And think about it. It's in Facebook's best interest to bring these people online. It's in Google's best interest to bring these people online. Doesn't always happen. It's not fast internet either. This is very basic internet. I think what we should be more interested in right now is kind of the idea of satellite internet, or the 5G internet that's coming along down the pipe. Verizon just announced that for the LA area. You can actually check your address to see if you're eligible for that, which your internet would be delivered to your house via wireless connection instead of a wired connection. But George, I think we need fast internet everywhere all the time. And yes, free would be nice, but it's tough. It's not really happening in America, except for free Wi-Fi, generally like at hotels and stuff. But good question. I'm Rich DeMuro, more of The Tech Guy after this. Welcome back to The Tech Guy. Rich DeMuro in for Leo Laporte today. My website is richontech.tv if you want to get to know me more. I'm the tech reporter at KTLA 5 in Los Angeles. And perhaps you've seen me pop up on your TV in other cities because my tech segment airs around the nation in various cities, New Orleans, Cleveland, Chicago, Seattle, Sacramento, San Diego, a bunch of different places. So I get to talk to all those fun folks every day. Basically, I stand in one place in LA in a studio and I do a round robin for 6 hours every morning and I talk to each station and present my story. So all consumer stuff, obviously, the stuff that we talk about here on this show as well. So thanks to Leo for letting me fill in for him. If you have a question for me, happy to answer it. The phone lines are open, 888-ASK-LEO. 888-ASK-LEO or 1-888-827-5536. And this is a big week. It's the week that Apple announced their brand new devices. And I was watching on Twitter, the pre-orders are open. I was watching on Twitter all the folks talking about what they ordered and why. And earlier in the show, I talked about the new iPhone XS and XS Max. But there's another device that Apple launched as well, and it's called the iPhone XR. And if you think that these names of the devices are getting a little complicated, you're not alone. I, as a tech person who talks about these on a daily basis, still gets them wrong sometimes because they are complicated. You've got, you know, now at this point, you can buy the iPhone 7, you can buy the iPhone 8, 8 Plus, you can buy, no 9, they skipped 9, you can buy the iPhone XS, the XR, or sorry, see, I just did it. The XS Max, the XR, but you cannot buy the 10. The iPhone 10 is dead. It's done. They're no longer selling it. There's no funeral because Apple doesn't mind. They're going to sell tons of these new phones. The iPhone XR, I think, is going to be the most popular phone of the year. And there's a couple reasons why. The number one reason is the price. It starts at $750, which is expensive. But when you compare it to the other iPhone options that are newly available, they're $999 and $1,099. So think about it. And this is how Apple kind of does this stuff. You're walking into the store and you say to Apple, hey, I need an upgrade. What's the best you got? Well, the best we have is this one for $1,099. And if you want all the storage, it's $1,450. And you go, whoa, no way. I'm not doing that. That's crazy. And so Apple goes, well, we do have this, which has almost all of the features, but it's only $750. And you don't even think about the fact that the old iPhones used to start at $650. You don't even think about that anymore. Now you just say, oh, $750. Just tell me more about that one. And they say, well, it has pretty much everything that you need. And it does. It's got a 6.1-inch screen with no home button, so it's giant. It looks like an iPhone, what used to be called the Plus, but the screen takes up almost the entire front. Well, basically the entire front of the device. The difference is there's no stainless steel. It's aluminum. So they save money in the aluminum. They save money on the screen, which is LCD, which is an older technology compared to the best iPhones, which have OLED technology. But it does have Face ID. It has the same chip as the high-end phones, the A12 Bionic. It's got the same camera, basically, except it only has one lens instead of two. But the reality is, for 99.9% of people that walk into an Apple store with a cracked screen or a phone that's a little too old and it's slowing down, when they hear about this $750 phone, they're going, what am I missing? I mean, this sounds like a great deal. Why would I spend $999 or $1,099 when I can get almost the same thing? Well, I mean, it's kind of funny how that happens. But the reality is, yeah, a lot of people are going to do that and buy this phone. Oh, by the way, it also comes in a bunch of fun colors. So you can get it in, let's see, you can get it in coral, right? You can get it in white. You can get it in black. You can get it in blue. You can get it in yellow. You can get it in red. So when you look at that, these candy-colored phones, with all the features or a majority of the features of the top phones and $250 less, wow, that sounds pretty good. The difference is that when you actually do the math on these devices, it's kind of, oh man, it's kind of tough because you're paying $250 less, but you're actually paying a premium for this cheaper device because you're not getting the memory. It's tough to explain, but basically the way Apple does the memory configurations, it's it's a little weird. The top of the line phone is 512, then it's 256, then it's 64. So you wonder, you say, hold on. Or this one, okay, this one, iPhone XR is going to be 64, 128, and 256. So 64, 128, 256. You know, there you're paying a premium for that cheaper amount of storage, right? The way that most people are going to buy these phones is through the iPhone upgrade program or some sort of monthly plan through their carrier, which starts at $37.41 a month. Now, doesn't that sound a lot better than $750 all at once? Yeah, and that's what people are going to do. Now, I did get to go hands-on with these new devices, and I will tell you, the thing that I notice about the iPhone XR is it is a pretty good phone. It's going to be a great phone for most Apple buyers. And I can only recommend getting the higher-end phone if you want the best screen possible and the best camera possible. But the camera on this device is almost identical to the high-end camera. You're just not getting the dual lens. So when you think about the dual lens, what does that help you do? Well, it helps you take those portrait pictures with the blurry backgrounds. But what Apple did was they actually made that possible on the lower-end iPhone XR with software now. So software enables you to take the picture with the blurry background with only one lens, and not only can you take that picture and make it look kind of cool, but you can also blur the background to your desire after you take the picture. So once you take the picture, there's a little slider. You can go really blurry, you can go not so blurry, and that's a new feature. And Apple says that's possible because of the chip inside this phone. Now, I'm not sitting here telling you that's the first time we've ever seen that on a device. The Pixel has had the ability, Google's phone has had the ability to blur the background using just one lens and software. And Samsung's devices have also enabled you to blur the background with just one lens as well and adjust the intensity of that background blur. So I'm not saying that this is something that's totally revolutionary, but it is for the iPhone. And when you're living in an iPhone world and you're only concerned about upgrading to the next iPhone, you're looking to the Apple person in the store or wherever you go to buy it, and you're just asking them what's new. And I'm telling you what's new. And you're getting almost all the features in this so-called budget iPhone for, you know, $250 less than the premium phone. But again, Apple is saving money on that LCD screen. And the one thing I noticed about the screen that I didn't like is that if you notice, the LCD does not go all the way to the edges like it does on the higher-end iPhone. So you will notice if you go into the store, there is a black bezel around the screen. So there's like kind of a thick part of the screen that doesn't have a screen. It just, you know, there's a difference. You'll notice it. I'm Rich DeMuro. You are listening to The Tech Guy. We're going to take your calls coming up after the break. 1-888-ASK-LEO, 1-888-827-5536. If you have a question about computers, technology, mobile devices, give me a call right now. We'll talk about it. Welcome back to The Tech Guy. Rich DeMuro with you here, talking technology, mobile phones, computers, whatever you got. Whatever you don't understand, whatever you need help with, give me a call. 1-888-ASK-LEO, 1-888-827-5536. Now let's go to Rancho Cucamonga. You're on with Rich.
Thank you for taking my call. I've been a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, okay.
71
cool.
Years old. I haven't been interested in the latest and greatest for some time now. As a matter of fact, the only reason I've changed out of my flip phone to a 5S, of which I have now, is not out of embarrassment, but out of necessity. All that changed a couple of days ago when I got a information from Verizon about an Apple Series 4 watch. And I have heart disease, so I can't get one of these fast enough based on what I've read. However, it says that I have to have something called number share. And I'm wondering what that is, how will I get it, and if there might be something else I need to make this Apple Series 4 watch work?
Ooh, good question. So here's the thing. Let me talk about this because this is brand new. The Apple Watch Series 4 was just announced this week, and you said you have some heart condition that you think this would be good for. And you're right, because what Apple did with the Series 4 Apple Watch is they made it into an FDA-approved device, medical device. And let me just go through the, before I explain the whole number share thing, which is actually quite easy. So, but I'll explain that in a second. But let me just tell you what the Apple Watch does for the people that didn't get an email from Verizon. But so the Apple Watch Series 4, it's basically bigger. It's a little bit bigger. It's got a bigger screen. It's got a bigger price tag. It now starts at $400 for the standard model. And Isaac, you would actually need the more expensive model if you want to do the number share thing. That's going to cost $500, so $499. So that's number one. So what they did was they added three features into this thing that are sort of like the heart features. And I'll tell you about one more feature that's really interesting too. So the number one thing it does is it recognizes an irregular heart rhythm. So it notices, it takes your sort of your heartbeat at, you know, all kinds of intervals throughout the day. And if it notices that you have an irregular heartbeat or something's going on, it will actually send you a notification. So that's number one. Number two, it can actually tell you if your heart rate exceeds or falls below a specified threshold. So if you have an issue with your heart that your doctor has talked to you about, and this is, again, this is not replacing your doctor. This is if you know you have a heart issue, you can get this watch and kind of supplement what they do at the doctor's office or what you would do with other devices, right? And so if your heart rate falls or goes too high, it will give you another notification, which is really neat. The other thing they did is you can now take an ECG right from the Apple Watch. And ECG, if you ever had one, they hook up a whole bunch of electrodes to your body and they zap you for a couple seconds and then they some sort of print out and the doctor looks at it and he says, okay, everything's good, or no, we got to look at this, or we noticed this. So now you can put your finger on the Apple Watch on what they call the digital crown. And if you're familiar with the standard watch, you know, the crown is that little thing you spin on the side. Well, on the Apple Watch, it's digital and it has a sensor on it. You put your finger there, and they also change the back of the watch. So the back of the watch has a new electrical, kind of an electrical reader. It's an electrical heart rate sensor now. So it's been improved from the old heart rate sensor. And you hold your finger on there for 30 seconds, and it can now analyze your heart rate. And it takes the electrocardiogram right from your wrist. How crazy is that? And Apple says they've been granted a de novo classification by the FDA for this. Now, one thing, Isaac, you need to know about this feature, okay? These two new features are not going to be available on the first day of the Apple Watch. Apple Watch is available next Friday, September 21st. These new features are not going to be on the watch the first day. The sensors for them will be built in, but it's something that Apple has to activate later through a software update. So you can't necessarily get the ECG feature right away. Okay, so you need to know about that. But the feature where it analyzes your heart rate and it tells you if it falls or below, you know, or exceeds, that will be there. So the other thing that the Apple Watch does is it has something called fall detection. So remember those old commercials, I've fallen and I can't get up. You know, a lot of people laugh at those, but that's serious. You've got someone that lives by themselves, and I don't care how old you are. If you fall and you have a big fall, you can be incapacitated at any age. So the new feature on the Apple Watch, when it notices that you fall, it will have an algorithm that senses, okay, that was a hard fall, number one. Now we're going to send a notification to that person and say, hey, are you okay? So your watch, when you slip, you fall, you trip, your watch is going to say, oh, we noticed that. Hey, are you okay? You go on your watch, you say, yes, I'm okay, I'm fine. But if you don't respond to that notification within 60 seconds, the Apple Watch will spring into action and it will call 911. It's called the SOS feature. So not just 911, whatever country you're in, the Apple Watch will automatically dial the emergency services in that country. And not only that, if you set it up in your health app, which I will tell you, you can do this right now on your iPhone, you should set up your emergency contacts in the health app. And this works on your current iPhone. When you have a problem, you can have a text sent to those emergency contacts, not only with your location, but also it'll say, hey, something just happened, I need help. and it will dial 911 and text those contacts your location and a message. And you can set that up on your iPhone. It's called Emergency SOS. It works right now. And when you have it set up, you can just hit the side button or the home button on your iPhone 5 times fast, and it will dial 911 and alert your emergency contacts. So again, this is all built into the new Apple Watch as well. And it's kind of one more way they can do this to help you out. Now, Isaac, to answer your question about number share, that's just a fancy way of saying that you need to pay an extra $10 a month to Verizon to share your phone number with your Apple Watch. So you want to have the same phone number, your phone, whatever number that's assigned to it, they will give you another phone number assigned to your Apple Watch, but it will actually ring both devices at the same time, whether your phone is nearby or not. So once you pay that $10 to Verizon and you set up number share, your cellular watch will still ring no matter where you are, and you can take calls, make calls, do whatever. Now, you mentioned that you were not interested in technology. The phone that you have does matter. You cannot have an Apple Watch without an iPhone. You need an iPhone to be a companion to the Apple Watch, or flip those around. Your Apple Watch is a companion to the iPhone. Now, I wish that Apple would allow you to have an Apple Watch without an iPhone. And there's no technical reason why they couldn't. With the cellular version, just lets you activate that as a device. You could even have its own phone number. But Apple wants you to use this with the iPhone. Now, once you have it activated and you've got your number share set up, you can put your iPhone in a drawer, basically, and still use the Apple Watch, and it would function almost flawlessly for a majority of the time, but it still needs to kind of dial home and talk to the iPhone once in a while to do some heavy lifting. Hope that answers your question, Isaac. Great question about the new Apple Watch Series 4. Check it out on the website for Apple. If you have health conditions, if you have any heart conditions, if you have someone living at home by themselves, it's got some really, really interesting features that Apple has just done a nice job with. Phone number is 8888-ASK-LEO. You got a question for me? I'll answer it. 888-827-5536. You're listening to The Tech Guy. Welcome back to The Tech Guy. Rich DeMiro with you on this Saturday. We're talking tech. Leo Laporte on vacation, filling in for him. By the way, thanks to Leo for letting me do this. I appreciate it. I'm the tech reporter at KTLA Channel 5 in Los Angeles. So most of the time I'm talking tech on the TV in the morning on morning shows across America, including Los Angeles. It's fun to come up here to the studios and talk tech on Leo's show. So the phone lines are open. If you have a question, 8888-ASK-LEO. But I'd like to bring a guest on right now. Johnny Jett travels the world. Basically has a dream job for a majority of people who are not scared to fly. Because if you were scared to fly, you wouldn't want your job.
I used to be afraid to fly.
What?
Yes, I got over my fear. But you could not get me on a plane for 3 years between the ages of 18 and 21. But I was always fascinated with it. I still am today. It blows me away that people, you know, can be transported in just a short amount of time to a completely different part of the world. And I just think people, you know, these days aren't really appreciative of what they do. I mean, where they can do. I mean, I've gone to Hawaii for dinner before.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I agree. You wake up to me whenever I fly, the fact that, number one, I'm putting my trust in an expert. And, you know, these people do it every day. It's kind of like when people say to me, they're like, oh, you make it so easy to be on TV. Well, number one, nobody ever says that to me. But one day I hope they do. But you know what I mean? It's like, but to a pilot that's flying these things, to them, it is easy. And I'm not discounting their job. Believe me, it's very complex. But if you ask them, you're like, oh my gosh, we can't imagine doing it. Well, I can't. But to them, it's what they do. And that's why we have so many different people in this world that do what they do. They're the experts in their field. And that's what I love about this world is I'm not going to learn how to fly a plane. I don't want to. I don't need to. But I'm going to let those guys, and they devote their entire lives. I read that book, The Sully Guy. I read his book, and it's just amazing. He loved, I mean, everything about flying was so technical to him and just beautiful. And that's why he was able to do what he did.
And my big thing was I was afraid of not only crashing, but I got over that because I've read all the statistics. I asked people. I studied it. I'd go to the airport, pretend I was flying. And then my other thing was it being in control. What if I had an asthma attack? Back then I had asthma. Or what if, you know, and I had an anxiety attack. Mm-hmm. I had anxiety back then, too. I couldn't just pull over the side of the road like I can in a car. Yeah. Once they shut that plane door, it's for real. And so I got over it by listening to my favorite music. I wouldn't read the sports page until I got on the plane. But once we took off, I was fine, and I realized how smooth and safe it is. And so there's hope for anyone who is afraid to fly.
Yeah, and I think it's really a blessing in this world that we can do what we do with technology and flight. I mean, it just really, the fact that you are so comfortable from the moment you take off and go anywhere in the world, I mean, it's like, it's just amazing that you can have even a drink on your tray that doesn't even so much as tip over or spill. It's just so amazing.
And there are a number of apps, by the way, for fear of flying. I've talked about them before, and I can tweet them. I'll look them up. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but there are a number of apps that will help you if you do have a fear.
Okay, that's great. Well, Johnny Jet on Twitter, find it there. So let me talk. I want to tell you, I tweeted about this the other day, and you can tell me your thoughts on this. So I love checking in online for my seat on the plane, right? Like, I love it. Like, it's like, and a lot of people that like to fly, it's like a game, you know? It's like, you're always angling for the best seat. You go to seatguru.com. You're trying to figure out what's the best seat for me, right? Well, correct. Coming up here, I get the email from my hotel saying, hey, you can online check in. And to me, oh my gosh, talk about anxiety. I can't for the life of me grasp the idea of checking in for my hotel room and picking my own room, because there's something different about the plane versus the hotel. The hotel, to me, there's always this mystery around your room. Like, you go up there, you smile. You know, some people say you slip them a 20 and they give you such a nice upgrade or the best room or whatever. What do you think about online check-in for hotels versus flights?
You know, I've only done it a few times. I still, you know, fortunately I have elite status at almost every hotel, so I don't have to wait in the longer lines. I can go to the shorter lines and then I can speak to the, you know, the clerk and say, ask them, you know, what room do they recommend? I want to make sure I get a room that doesn't have a connecting room door. I want to be away from the elevators. I don't want to be too high, so the firefighters can't get up there with their ladders. I think that's the seventh floor or below.
Oh, wow. That's a good tip.
And things like that. But you don't want to be on the ground floor either, because that's not safe for burglars and things like that.
So you want to be in the middle somewhere. So, okay, that's a good tip right there.
I actually prefer to be on the corner room, okay, all the way away from the elevator, so it's quiet, but not too high up.
So will they just assign you pretty much the worst room if you don't say anything? I mean, obviously not the worst, but whatever the pick is. Like, if they're like, this guy's not saying anything, like, we're going to put him by the elevator because he doesn't say anything.
It all depends. If you give them a bad attitude, for sure, they'll give you the haunted room.
Some people might like that.
Yeah, actually, they might. But, you know, if you're nice to them and you tell them, you know, you're only there for a short term, or if you're checking in late at night and they're just going out the next day, they'll give you a nice room for that. But if you book on places like third parties, what they do not like, they will give you a worse room.
Yes.
But if you book on their website, you know, they will give you a better room.
That happened to me. I had a room in Los Olivos at this little hotel, boutique hotel, really cute hotel, like beautiful. Worst room in the entire place. I couldn't even fit in the shower. That's how small this shower was. And I went to the front desk, because this was not cheap, by the way. And I went to the front desk and I said, and I usually never complain. I kind of like just whatever. And she said, oh yeah. She goes, even our general manager wouldn't stay in that room. I said, well, if he wouldn't stay in it, why are you putting me in there? She goes, well, you booked on a third party site. And here's the funny thing, Johnny. I booked on Google, which I've never done. I thought it was so cool, because Google has this thing now where they kind of integrate a lot of like booking stuff in their search. So it's like one click. They've got all your payment information. They've got all your stuff. And I thought that was so cool and easy. And I never booked a hotel like that. It was like literally two clicks.
And they charge you for Wi-Fi too then at the hotel.
Yeah, it was. Well, yeah, this one, I can't remember if the Wi-Fi was included or not. But my point is, she called out the fact that I didn't book on theirs. And she didn't like that. And my point is, I thought it was better, but clearly it's not. They don't like when you book third party.
But you can always complain too. So you can always say, you know, go up to the room. If it smells smoky or moldy or there's something wrong, you know, call back down or go down and say, hey, listen, I'm not happy. And, you know, if they have rooms available, most of the time they will accommodate, but not always. And if you're on a third party site, it could be a problem.
It's really interesting to me because I'm a tech guy. I love technology. I love my idea back in the day was like, I don't ever have to interact with humans again because everything is like you check in, you order your fast food from a kiosk, you order, you know, even at restaurants, you know, they're letting you order stuff from the tablets. But now as I get older, I'm actually kind of going backwards. And I'm noticing like smiling at the person that you check in with and having a conversation with them does help.
Big time, especially when you're flying. Always gate agents, flight attendants. Watch next time you fly, watch how other passengers interact with the flight attendants. Most of them just give them a scowl. and so that's why you got to be super friendly. I always usually bring three bags of like Hershey chocolates, one for the gate agents, one for the flight attendants, and one, of course, for me. And they will treat me like a rock star even when I'm sitting in coach. But speaking of sitting in coach, I was going through my flights today. I always tell people, always go through the flights, especially if you book far in advance, and your seat assignments, which I know they were just talking about. And I noticed that my flight for December that was supposed to go Toronto to LA to Hawaii was changed from Toronto to Chicago to LA. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So I had to start looking, and I realized that American Airlines stopped the nonstop flight, but they didn't tell me. And they rebooked me. So my point is always continue looking at your flights, your seat assignments to make sure that they don't change it up. Luckily, I caught it in time. So now I have plenty of time to make changes. But if I waited to the last minute, there would be no seats on those other flights, those alternate flights. So what they booked me on, I would be stuck on. But when they do that, you're not stuck. You can then call them up and say, listen, I'm not happy with what you gave me. Switch me to a different flight or give me my money back and I'll rebook with someone else who has a nonstop.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
remember,
there's only two nonstops now, Air Canada and WestJet. So the prices are going to go up between LA and Toronto.
And TripIt, I like too, as a good way to monitor things. JohnnyJet.com, thanks so much for joining me today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
The king of travel. You're listening to The Tech Guy. I'm Rich DeMuro. More of your calls at 8888 Ask Leo after this. Johnny, I could talk to you all day.
Yeah, I could talk to you too. And I, you know, I wanted to mention I do watch you on KTLA when I'm in town. I turn on Channel 5.
Oh, nice.
And there
well,
you are.
Thank you.
Great.
I see all your tweets, so that's always fun. The travel thing is so, I didn't even get to talk about this, but the other things I was going to talk about, two things that I would like. Number one, I don't know if you remember, there's a website that used to be called Room 77.
Yes,
and
of course.
I did a story with them, and they were doing what it would look like out of your room, like the view.
So that way you could choose your room, right?
Exactly. Right. So you can see, like, is it, you know, like, okay, this is this room 247 has a view of the freeway. This room, this you look out 248, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's just like a beautiful vista, right? Yep. So that they stopped doing that. I don't know what they're. I think the website. Let me see, is the website still around?
I think TripAdvisor probably bought them, but and I wouldn't be surprised if they start doing what you know they did with Seeker Room because TripAdvisor bought Seeker Room.
What's Seeker Room?
No, sorry, Seat Guru.
Seat Guru. Got it. Yeah. Oh, they did. Wait, who bought them?
It was Expedia or TripAdvisor. They're the same. They were the same company. Then they split off.
You're right. Parent company is TripAdvisor now. Wow, that's crazy. Subsidiary, lovemyseat.com. What? That's another one. Interesting. I've never heard of that one.
Look at that. Love My Seat.
It just redirects to Seat Guru. Okay. There used to be another one called Hello. It was like. It told you the best flights based on happiness, like a happy factor.
That's still
what's that called?
That's
Hello Flight.
No,
it was like Chipmunk.
Well, Hipmunk has it.
Hipmunk. Okay, is that it? Hipmunk. So Hipmunk. That. But all these sites, they end up evolving because they realize that they can't like kind of make it on their main thing, and they just have to be like a aggregator of stuff. The other thing that I was going to say is two things. Number one, I would like, and maybe a website does this, but I would like to sort my hotels by the year they were built.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I go to a city, let's say I'm staying in a city I've never been in, I just kind of want like a new hotel. Like, a lot of these new, like, little cheap, like, mid-range, like the Alofts of the world and the Elements, right. I like to stay in those. And so they're usually new, right?
Right. But you know what? Actually, there's a hotel I go to Delray Beach, Florida a lot, and I've just stayed at the Delray Beach Residence Inn, and it's an old building, but they just did a remodel.
Right.
And
okay.
I was actually. And they did a really nice job on that one.
Right. Well, that's the thing. But, so it would say remodel, too.
I do prefer brand new hotels because, especially if you have allergies and things like that, it makes it a lot easier when you travel.
Oh, my gosh. We stayed at this place in Vegas called the what was it called? It was the South Point, which is like $10 for the night. Anyway, we walked into our first room. It was horrendous, right? And they're like, I'm like, oh, no. And they offered us to upgrade at the check-in, but I was like, no, I'm not upgrading. And they're like, well, it's only $10. And we walked into the room. I was like, oh, my gosh, for $10. It was the next room was so much better because it was all redone. Oh, man. Anyway, the other thing I'd like, Johnny Jet, you can make these all your own website for travel. Hotels ranked by internet speed. Because sometimes you get the slowest internet. And I want, like, this hotel has, like, you know, from the users at the hotel. Anyway. All right.
People post that stuff. By the way, so next Saturday, actually, I think I should be able to call in next Saturday if you're hosting. I will be traveling, so if my flight's not late, I'll be able to do it. I'll send an email from the plane.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, perfect.
All right,
Johnny Jet, thank you. What's going on? Welcome back to The Tech Guy. Rich DeMuro in for Leo Laporte today. Again, my website, richontech.tv. If you want to learn more about who is speaking to you right now, some of you in LA might be familiar with me. I'm the tech reporter for KTLA Channel 5 there. But for the rest of you, richontech.tv is where you can learn more. TechGuyLabs.com is our website here at the show. That's where you can learn and get a recap of everything that we talked about here. So we've got some great folks here that go through all the questions. You know, they kind of just transcribe and put down the right answers on the website so that anything we mention in the course of giving these answers, you can find later on. And all you do is just type in a keyword. You don't have to remember everything. You don't have to remember the caller's name or whoever. You just have to remember one thing about the question. You can type it in, and next thing you know, you can figure out what we talked about and get that important app, website, or whatever. Right now, let's go to Vincent. Vincent is in Louisiana. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Rich, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Just trying to, you know, keep the things running around here while Leo's gone.
Great. Hey, you know, I'm a cable cutter, and quite a few months ago, Leo had talked a little bit about NVIDIA Shield. Now I'm using NVIDIA Shield with 4K capability and also Channel Master, a tuner.
Nice. How are you liking that cable cutting lifestyle?
Oh, I love it. It's the best. And, you know, the type of content I want to see on my TV is much more fitted to the older TV stations, these back channels that are broadcast in high definition. So I really like it. But I'm stuck with a 75-inch Samsung TV that's only 1080i that I bought when it was cutting edge and paid way too much for it. Trying not to make the same mistake again. I hardly ever use the smart apps in the TV. Really, I want a 75-inch OLED monitor that might have a HDMI switch in it. And that's probably all I need out of my television. But I can't seem to find anything even close to that.
Well, I'll tell you, here's the thing. So, number one, I agree with you about the one HDMI. Basically, all you need on a TV to me nowadays is an HDMI input. And I would actually also like an antenna, a coax input for an antenna. So I would like a digital tuner because you can just put in it. Like I have an antenna on my house and I can get all the channels, even though I'm a cord cutter. I get the channels through, I have DirecTV Now, which is my cord cutting kind of cable service, which I access through Apple TV. And then I've got an antenna, which gets me all the channels, you know, over the air. I don't have to pay for those. So I agree with you. I don't think when you buy a TV that, you know, they always say smart TV. And I don't think that you need that because to me, I don't want a smart TV because the apps that Samsung is pushing through or some of these other companies are not as updated as they are on something like an Amazon Fire TV or something like a Chromecast or something like an Apple TV. Or in your case, the NVIDIA Shield, which is an Android TV box, those apps are being updated at a faster pace than the manufacturers are updating the built-in apps. So I agree with you. You don't need a smart TV. Now, I do take exception with the Roku TV. I do like that. I think when you have the Roku TV on some of these smart TVs, I do like that. And I also like Amazon has a deal with Best Buy to do some TVs through them. Those I like as well. The Fire TV line, which is different than the Fire TV boxes. I do like those because Amazon is updating that as well. So my only two recommendations when it comes to smart TVs is if it has Roku built in or Amazon Fire TV built in. Otherwise, just get a regular TV. Now, Vincent, you're asking about getting a 75-inch OLED set, okay? So you want a 4K set. Now, that was easy to find when we were talking about standard HD TVs. They were pushing up into that 75 range. But nowadays, when you look at these current 4K units, most of them are topping out at 65 inches. And the reason I would say for that is probably because when you get into that 75-inch range, especially on an OLED display, the panels for that are super expensive. And I would say that about 99.9% of people are not purchasing that. And that's why you're not seeing them as much. They are available. I mean, I'm on Amazon right now, and I'm seeing there's a Samsung. They have a QLED 4K TV, UHD. Samsung has it. LG has a 75-inch model. But they're not popular, and they're way more expensive. So I understand where you're coming from, but I think that you might have to suffice with a 65-inch TV. You could get a ton of those. And some of the most well-received 65-inch TVs right now are coming from TCL. If I had to rank the TVs, Sony, I think, makes probably the best panels out there or the best, screen. When you're looking at it, I think that LG makes a really nice one with when it comes to picture, and also Samsung. And then after that, you've got kind of these more value-oriented brands, which the TCLs of the world, which are just killing it, because the amount of TV you're getting for the price that they're charging is just amazing. And that's why a lot of people are buying these things. Vizio, obviously, they've been a leader in kind of the value proposition for a long time now. So, Vincent, I think that's why you're having trouble finding a set in that 75-inch range. I just don't think we're there yet, especially with OLED. It's just the OLED screens are really expensive still. I mean, really expensive. And so I don't think that that's the big market right now. I think most people are just getting a standard screen at this point in the 65-inch kind of lineup there. Let's go to Richard. I'll just go to Richard because... you know what? Let's go to Kara. Kara's in San Diego. Kara, you're on with Rich.
Hi. Yeah, hi, Rich. Thanks for taking this call.
Sure.
I'm a writer, and I love to write about things, and I write a lot of articles about special needs, autism, things like that.
Well, thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you. I mean, I've had like 20 years experience working and teaching kids.
Wow.
And so since I do write, I get emails from sites saying, hey, you know, we're paying, be a paid writer, blah, blah, blah. So I sent out a couple of my articles, and the sites that deal with special needs types of cases, they don't pay for writing, and the mainstream sites aren't really interested in what I write. So I thought, well, why don't I just do my own site, and then I can write whatever I want.
Sure.
And so I set up. I really don't know what I'm doing. I bought a domain name through GoDaddy. And I've bought domain names in the past, and they've just sat there, and I've never done anything with them because I don't know what to do.
Okay.
And I also opened up the site's called Autism Parental. I'll just give it a little plug.
Sure.
There. But since I opened this website, besides me, I don't know who looks at it, but 150 people have checked in. And since I opened up my Facebook page last night, besides me, I guess 26 people have looked at it, or and a few have shared it. And so I'm a little worried because I don't know what I'm doing. I put a couple posts on there, but I really want to start this blog, and I don't know if I can go do it through GoDaddy. Should I use them? What should I spend?
I
have no idea.
Well, here's the thing. So there's a couple of things that you need to know. Number one, you've got the domain name, right? And domain name is separate from actually hosting a website on that domain. You can buy a domain name anywhere and then buy your hosting from somewhere else. And yes, I agree, it gets very complicated. And there are some sites that kind of do a lot of this for you. But I think that doing it yourself is going to be the best way to do it because you get the most control. And what I recommend is that you get a WordPress account that's self-hosted, which means now if you want to start this simply, you can go to WordPress.com. But I think that self-hosted is going to set you up for the future. And what that means is it takes a little bit more know-how because you have to set it up, but you control every aspect of the website. So can you hang on a second after the break and I'll explain more?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay, hang on just a second here. All right, well, you guys know I'm having a great time here sitting at Leo's desk, but Leo, I feel him. Do we have a word from Leo right now?
The Tech Guy podcast brought to you, as always, by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans, the best lender in the country. Let's talk a little bit about buying a home. That's anxious making, isn't it? It's even more so these days. For a long time, interest rates were pretty flat, but now they're going up, right? The Fed rose the rates, and they say there are more rate increases coming. When the Fed goes up, so do mortgage interest rates. That means there's a lot of unpredictability when you're buying a home, and that adds anxiety. It adds a sense of urgency that maybe you don't need when you're looking for this most important purchase you'll ever make. So that's why Quicken Loans, completely customer-focused, number one in customer satisfaction 8 years in a row, according to J.D. Power. They thought about this, and they created something they call the power buying process to take some of the anxiety out of this. It's an important purchase. You shouldn't be rushed. You shouldn't be pressured. You shouldn't feel anxious because you want to get the right place, don't you? So it starts by going to rocketmortgage.com/techguy. Rocket Mortgage is from Quicken Loans. It's the online, fully online mortgage approval process that they created just for us geeks. So you go to rocketmortgage.com/techguy. You within a few minutes, I think it takes roughly about 10 minutes. If you start now and you sign up for the account and then you say, okay, well, I'd like to choose a loan. About 10 minutes, they go out. You don't have to do much at all. You don't have to go to a bank. You don't have to fill an application. They get all the information they need from their trusted partners with your permission, of course. And then they say, here's what you qualify for. You choose the rate, the term, the down payment. Then over the next 24 hours, loan officer looks at it, rubber stamps it, and you now have verified approval. Based on income, assets, and credit, they will give you, basically you get a letter you can show your realtor or the better yet, the seller's realtor that says, I'm good for it. I'm verified. I have the money. It gives you the strength of a cash buyer. That's sweet. And now once you're verified, the third part comes in. This is called rate shield approval, and this is what takes all that anxiety out. They lock your rate for up to 3 months while you shop, up to 90 days to find that right house, and interest rates can't go up. Well, wait a minute, I take that back. They can go up, but yours won't. So your interest rate is locked in. If interest rates went down, maybe they will. Who knows? If they go down, your rate goes down. But whatever happens, you've got up to 90 days to shop, and your interest rates cannot go up. That's exactly what you'd expect from the world's best mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/techguy. Rate shield approval is only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, and MLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. It's easy. Just remember this, rocketmortgage.com/techguy. In fact, go there right now and get started, rocketmortgage.com/techguy. And we thank Rocket Mortgage for making the Tech Guy podcast possible. Now on with the show.
And thank you, Leo, for making all of this possible. It's amazing to be up here and see what Leo's built. It's just so cool. So thanks to Leo for letting me sit here and talk to you guys. We'll bring this up just a little bit so I can hear. Welcome back to The Tech Guy. Rich DeMuro here with you today, answering your tech questions, filling in for Leo Laporte. Thanks so much for having me with you wherever you are today. We're talking tech, and we've got on the line Kara from San Diego. She had a question. She got a domain name. She wanted to start her own blog. She's a writer. She got her own domain, but now she's kind of like, where do I go from here, right? And this happens to a lot of people because you get the domain name, and now you got to figure out, well, how do I make this into a blog? How does it even become a blog? Because getting your domain and doing it that way is a little bit different than going to a website that's just for blogging, like blogger.com or something like that. So we're at the point where you have your domain name. Do you have anything on your blog right now?
Just some pictures and a couple of sentences about what it's about.
Okay, and you went through GoDaddy, did you say?
Yes.
And so you went through GoDaddy, and so how do you have pictures on this website? Did GoDaddy give you some hosting space? Are you paying a monthly fee to them?
Well, right now I'm paying nothing. I just, as far as I know, they just said, let's get your website started. So they said, you want to add some pictures? And so I said, yeah. And they may have started to bill me. That's a good question.
Okay, so there's a couple things. You may have a landing page, which they may include in your plan for your domain. But generally, let me just explain how this works. So you buy a domain, right? And that is the web address for your blog. So your domain could be whatever you want it to be. You go to a company to buy the domain. A lot of people do go to a place like GoDaddy to buy that, but you can go anywhere. There's tons of different places that will actually give you a domain, or, you know, you purchase a domain. Then you need to purchase the website. And the website is, if you're creating a blog, it could be something as simple as you can go to like WordPress.com, which, by the way, is, full disclosure, a sponsor of the podcast network of this show. So you can go there. And what WordPress.com does really nicely is it makes everything really easy. You don't need to know any technical know-how to actually set up your blog there. You just start writing. And what you have to do is you have to connect your domain to your blog on WordPress. So imagine they're two different things, and in the settings, you just connect them, right? So you say, hey, it's almost like, let's imagine your blog is your house, and you have to tell the mailman the address to your house so that people can find it, right? And that means you have to give that person that knowledge so they know how to get to your house. And that's basically what you're doing when you're connecting your domain to your actual blog. Your blog is your house, but then you have to give people directions to your house, which is your domain. And if you didn't have a domain connected to your blog, nobody would be able to find it, right? So once you do that, you can do WordPress.com, which is really simple. It's very easy. Or you can do what's called self-hosted WordPress. And what that means is it takes a little bit more work, but you have more control at the end over your blog. So now I think, Kara, with what you need right now, you can probably be perfectly good with just the WordPress.com, because you're starting out small and you can always go to self-hosted later, right? And that's more complicated. So what I did with my blog, I started out really small and I just, you know, richontech.tv. I just went there and I did self-hosted, but I got like a really small plan. And as I got bigger and as I expanded my blog, I continued to go larger with my plan. Because that's the other thing, is it actually costs more money to go the bigger you want your blog to be. So if you have, let's say, 1,000 visitors a month, that's fine. It's the same price. But if you get 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 visitors, now you have to start paying more for your monthly fee. Does that all make sense?
Yeah. I think on GoDaddy, I think they gave me like a year of hosting at a certain price and then it goes up.
Okay.
So can I transfer that?
Yeah. But right now, if you've already paid for that hosting, keep it. And what you can do is on GoDaddy, now the way they do hosting on GoDaddy is you may just have a standard kind of web space with them right now. And Kara, believe me, you're not alone. This is very complicated and it's not that easy. You know, especially when you're doing the self-hosted route. But I would look on GoDaddy, and I think, you know, you can call them, by the way, and ask them and say, hey, how is my blog on my website right now? Is it self-hosted with WordPress, or am I using your sort of CMS, which is a content management system? And my feeling is, unless you went through a whole bunch of things to set up WordPress, you're just using their site. If they said, hey, add some pictures, I think you are just using their website. Their website builder, let's call it, right?
Yeah, they're affiliated with WordPress?
Well, exactly. So you need to ask them that. Say, hey, can I get a one-click WordPress installation? And most of the big blog companies use one-click WordPress, where you really don't have to do much. They do it all in the back end. And next thing you know, you log in with a WordPress. You basically go to your website and log in, and now you have this beautiful WordPress kind of back end where you can type in all your blog posts, you can customize. But you know what? Another good resource is YouTube. just kind of look at YouTube about WordPress and kind of find out what you can do with that. You know, what are the best, plugins
That's
for you?
Idea.
You know, but just start small. Okay. Just start easy.
Okay.
And believe me, you can have a lot of fun, Kara. You can have so much fun with your website, because if you're doing a blog, you can do videos on that blog. You can do all kinds of stuff. So just start small, start easy. Don't worry about getting into like a lot of, you know, don't even worry about the visitors. Just start doing little things, right? And then just keep building upon that and get better at it and educate yourself. You're a writer, so that, you know, you just keep educating yourself on how you can do all this stuff, and you'll have a great time. Building a blog is really fun, and it's as small or as big as you want it to be.
Okay, I'll do what you said, and I'll start. It's just so complicated; it's scary.
It is, but talk to your hosting provider, GoDaddy, and you will see and kind of get the idea of where is this website coming from, and ask that question. Say, hey, can I get WordPress? And you know, they'll probably guide you through the process of getting it. And all you got to do is come up with a username and password, and then you can log into WordPress, and you'll start creating your site from there.
Okay, I'll give him a call. I really appreciate this. This has been a big help.
All right, Kara, thank you. And I'm always available on my website, richontech.tv. If you have more questions, you can follow me there and ask me there. Thanks so much, Kara in San Diego. Let's see if we can get Kevin in Baltimore. Kevin in Baltimore, you're on with Rich.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. How are you?
Good, thanks.
What's going on?
Okay, so my situation is I'm a police officer. So when I respond to a call, sometimes on my computer, it will have a phone number of the person calling. So a lot of times, if I need more information, I will give that person a call back, but I don't want to call from my personal cell phone number to give out my number. So my question is there a way to, I believe the word is called spoofing, is there a way to spoof my number from the precinct that I work out of's phone number?
Well, there are apps that will do that, but I don't think that's the solution you want. If I were you, I would get something like a Google Voice number that you can use for this purpose, or there's another website called Burner. So look up Burner app and go to that website, burnerapp.com, and that will give you a temporary number or even a number that you should that you can use for these types of calls. Or you can use a Skype out number. Those are just some different options you can use. But I don't think you want to get into spoofing your number, especially as a law enforcement person, because I don't think that's the right solution that you want for this. But again, check out Google Voice, Burner app, and also Skype out. And I think those are the three best options you can get for having a number that you can dial out and have a different number than your personal number. My name is Rich DeMuro, filling in today for Leo Laporte. We'll take more of your questions at 8888-ASK-LEO right after this. Welcome back to The Tech Guy. Rich DeMuro with you here, talking technology, answering your calls about all kinds of things that bug us with our gadgets, our phones, our computers, tablets. Man, just thinking about all the stuff I carry, I've always been trying to carry less stuff with me when I travel, and I realize I'm like, oh, I need that cable for that. Well, if I don't bring that, I need that. Oh, I need a charger for that. I need a plug for that. Well, this one's USB-C, so I need that. It's really tough in this day and age. To be simple is not that easy. I mean, you could carry one thing. I mean, I've tried, you know, I've gone on trips without the iPad or without my... One time, I did not take my laptop, and that was a mistake. I will never do that again. I will never forget. Oh my gosh, I was like, I will just bring an iPad on this trip. This was back when the iPad sort of first came out, and I was thinking, oh, I can get by with this. Man, I had to like rebook a flight or something, and no matter whatever it was horrible. Now, nowadays, I'd probably be able to do better, but this was just not good. But so now, I really do take a lot, and I did not, on this trip, I did not bring my portable battery charger with me. And I was like, oh no. So what happens if I get off the plane and my phone is almost dead and there's no USB port in the car, so I can't charge my stuff? And so I actually, then I of course had to bring like a I guess you call it a cigarette lighter, whatever you call that thing now in the car, the DC adapter, whatever you want to call it. I had to bring one of those so I can plug in my cable for my car. And then, of course, I want to mount my phone on the dashboard, so I need to bring my little, I love this thing called the Kinu Airframe, and so I need that. It's kind of like this little clip that goes on the vent, you know? So I needed that to hold my phone up. And I need a cable for my phone. I mean, it's just really funny. So, and, you know, obviously being a tech person, I do carry a lot of stuff because I'm testing stuff all the time, too. So, yeah. But the one thing I did not bring, by the way, was an HDMI cable. I wanted to test out, I have the Note 9, and I wanted to test out connecting that to my TV in the hotel room to see how that works. Like, if you could watch Netflix on it through the little system they have, Dex, which allows you to connect your Note, Galaxy Note, to a screen. And I wanted to try that, and I totally forgot. So I'm going to borrow one from here. This I thought was really cool. This came out this week, and it's a new tracker. If you're familiar with that Tile, you know, that's like the little thing that you can kind of connect to anything. It's like a little, I don't know, it's just a, they call it the Tile. You've probably seen them. It's like a little device, like a little, it almost looks like a quarter, about the size of maybe a couple quarters. And you can put it, you know, you can attach it to something. I have one attached to my backpack. You can put it in your luggage. And it kind of tracks, helps you keep track of that stuff. It uses Bluetooth, low energy, to kind of see, you know, it talks to your phone and you see where that thing is on a map. Well, that's really cool, but now Samsung has come out with one that's, I think, even cooler. It's called the SmartThings Tracker. And this is kind of the same size. It's a little kind of lightweight device, but it has GPS inside, but also LTE. So yes, there is a cellular connection inside this little device. And what that means is you can clip this device to your pet's collar, your kid's backpack. You can put it in your backpack, in your luggage, wherever you want to track something. You just put this little thingamajig. And now you can look on your phone and see where it is. And you might be saying, well, yeah, that's what the Tile does, Rich. Well, the difference is that the Tile requires Bluetooth and someone else in the area to have the Tile app. So let's say you left your backpack with a Tile at the airport, right? Sitting on a chair. And you go on your phone from home and try to locate your backpack. Well, your phone is not talking directly to that Tile, right? Because that Tile is not going to, the Bluetooth range is just, you know, 30 feet or something like that, 30 meters, whatever it is. It's not very far. So it's relying on someone else's phone that has the Tile app to actually communicate with that device and then use their phone to send that device's location to the network, and then you can see where it is on your device. And the problem with that is that there may not be someone in the area that has the Tile, and now you can't locate your stuff. So the difference with this new SmartThings tracker from Samsung is that it is device independent. It works all by itself. Imagine just using Find My iPhone to find an iPhone. It's using cellular. That's what this is doing. And it's $99, which is pretty amazing. It lasts for a week, and you only have to charge, you know, you only have to charge it about once a week. But this is pretty game changing, because I don't think you'd put this in your wallet. Like, a lot of people put Tiles on their wallet and stuff. I don't know if you'd do that, but I think for a backpack, and I get so many questions from people that say, hey, I want to be able to keep track of my kids' location. I want to know, you know, when they come home, when they go to school, if they leave school, where they are. This, I think, is a really good solution to that. Because a lot of the kid trackers out there are just not very pretty. They're not good. And this one, I think, is very simple. It rides a very nice balance of, it does what it needs to do, but it's also kind of simple. And again, it's $99. That includes a year worth of service. So again, you have to have cellular service, basically a cellular phone plan for this device. It doesn't have its own phone number or anything, but it is running on the AT&T network. So the $99 does include a year worth of service through AT&T. And if you don't want AT&T, let's say you have Verizon, they say they are coming out with a Verizon version soon. They don't exactly say when, but they do say there will be a Verizon version. And after the first 12 months, it's going to be $5 a month or $50 a year. And this thing is available. And I think that Samsung is onto something here, because we hear about this Internet of Things. And the fact that you can now clip a little tiny LTE radio to your backpack with GPS and locate your backpack anywhere that it is very cool. And it puts a really interesting spin. I think that Tile will probably end up coming out with this as well. And there's another one called Tracker. They'll probably end up doing this as well. But I'm surprised that Samsung was the first one to do it. And by the way, you could do other things with this. And it is Android and iOS compatible. So you don't need a Samsung phone. You just need an Android phone or an iOS phone to be able to see where this thing is on a map. But again, it's called the SmartThings Tracker from Samsung. It just went on sale this week, and it's $99 to locate anything. And it is water resistant and all that good stuff. So you could put it on your pet, on their collar, and use it to locate your pet, even without a smartphone nearby. And you can also do stuff like set up a geofence. So let's say if your pet leaves the yard, you want a notification to your phone. Yeah, you can do that with this thing. So again, $99 includes a year worth of service on the SmartThings Tracker LTE. I think this is just amazing, this world we live in. And this thing is just going to keep getting smaller and smaller and cheaper and cheaper. We're just at the beginning of this, folks. Your calls after this, 8888 Ask Leo. 8888 Ask Leo. You got a question about your tech? Give me a call. Rich DeMuro in today for Leo Laporte. We'll be back right after this. Oh, what kind of headphones are these? Every time I use these headphones, everyone always asks me. They are Sony MDR-1R. They probably don't even sell them. I won them like at some sort of thing. I forget where it was. Like years ago. Yeah, they don't even sell them. But they have a newer version. Let's see. No, they don't even have them. I guess this would be... Oh, wow. Yeah. They have a sixth version of these things. Oh my gosh. That are $72 on Amazon. Sony MDR V6 now. So mine are the MDR R1R. So I guess, but they are very comfortable. I am very particular about my headphones because I like the ones that actually go over. If you guys are watching, I like the ones that go over my ears, like where they cup the ear. I don't like anything sitting on my ear because it really hurts me after like 5 minutes. So I always need something that cups the ear that goes over it, and these do it. So I can wear these for a long time. And Sony makes obviously some great headphones, but I wear these. I've been wearing these for many years. Yeah. I guess I could get in the chat room and put that stuff. I guess I could put a link in there, but I don't know. I don't know. You guys have me. Let's see. All right. I've got Greg. Oh, wow. We have a lot of calls. And if you guys are, well, you can't hear me if you're on the calls. But yeah, it's tough to get through all the calls here. I mean, I could if I just like blasted through them, but that's not nice. I don't want to just blast through. All right. Ask me some questions on the chat while I eat so I can answer them. Like easy questions. Like, not like tech questions, just whatever you want. Yeah, but don't you get headphone hair? Of course. I'll have to redo my hair for the new screensavers. Oh, they can hear me on hold? Oh. No, can they? Really? I'll tell you how I met Leo. I'll never forget. Callers on hold are listening to the program audio. So they're listening to all this? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know that.
What else would they be listening to? Well,
don't they listen to the radio show, though?
No, because they're coming locally off of us.
Okay, so you just pipe in everything. Oh, got it. Okay. Interesting. So they can hear me. Cool. All right. How did I meet Leo? I actually met Leo... I'll never forget. I was up here for a Google. Oh my gosh. When Google Chromecast. No. Sorry. Apple event. I was here for an Apple event, and I'll never forget my live truck. We had a satellite live truck for KTLA. It went down and it didn't work. So we ended up having to broadcast live from my iPad. And it got like a lot of it got a lot of like press, like all the press, like, you know, like all these blogs and stuff like picked it up because it was like kind of new. And Leo, I'll never forget. I never met him, never knew him. I didn't even think he knew who I was. And he's like, oh, Rich DeMuro, you're the guy that did the iPad Live. And I was like, oh my gosh, he does not miss a thing. I mean, really, that happened that day. He was on the blogs. He knew it. I mean, I just thought that was so amazing. And that's, I've known of Leo forever, but ever since then, he has been held in the utmost respect in my heart because of that. And I was like, this guy is the real deal. All right, here we go. All right, welcome back to The Tech Guy. Rich DeMuro in this weekend for Leo Laporte on vacation. And we're taking your calls about technology. 8888-ASK-LEO, 8888-ASK-LEO. Let's go to Greg in Chino. Greg, what can I help you with?
Yeah, I just want to talk about a post you made up on Twitter, or actually a tweet, about the 5G network that's going to be launching in select markets throughout the United States. Do you really think that's a game changer?
Oh, interesting. Okay, so posted on my Twitter, at Rich DeMuro. This is Verizon 5G. So Verizon is launching 5G wireless home internet. So yes, they're launching 5G for their network where your cell phone will eventually work on it. But what they're starting with is in a couple of markets, including Houston, Indianapolis, LA, and Sacramento. And if you want to learn more about this, you can go to their website, firstonfiveg.com. But October 1st, they kind of surprised everyone with this. October 1st, they're launching home internet. And what you need for your list at your house is they'll basically install for free a modem, and it's kind of a bigger modem. It looks pretty big. They install that at your house. It receives the wireless signal, and then it puts it in your house just the way you would have your wired signal. So if you have cable for your internet from a company like Spectrum or from any other company out there that offers wired internet to your house, AT&T, DSL, whatever you got, this could theoretically replace that. Now, the speeds they're talking about are 300 to 1,000 down. So let me explain what that means. 300 to 1,000 down, the standard for Spectrum is 100 down, which is amazing. That's great. That's what I have at home, and it's great. If you want, you can pay Spectrum a little bit more for 300 down, which requires them coming and giving you a new modem and all this new stuff. It depends on the modem you have. Sometimes they have to come to your house and kind of switch it out, but it's more expensive. Then the 1,000. So you're talking 100 or 300. This is minimum 300 and then goes up to 1,000. Some neighborhoods in America are being wired for 1,000 down, which is gigabit fiber internet, basically. That's what a lot of the companies are calling it. Very rare that you would have this in locations. But I guess, Greg, to answer your question, do I think this is a game changer? I do, if it's available. And here's the reality of this. I have checked a bunch of addresses that I know in LA, and none of them were there. So I don't know where this is. I don't know where Verizon's doing this. They're not giving us a map of the LA, Houston, Indianapolis, Sacramento areas and showing us where the 5G is. The difference between 5G and what we currently have with LTE is with 5G, you need a lot more antennas. They're called these small cell antennas. They have to put them everywhere. I'm talking every couple hundred of feet compared to cell phone antennas that are, you know, you see the towers. There's not one every couple hundred feet. They're, you know, a couple miles away from each other. So that's the big difference between this, is that it takes a lot more to install this in an area. It's still wireless, but they need a lot more equipment. It's small equipment, but it's still a lot of it. So do I think this is game changing? I do. If they can give these cable companies a run for their money by actually offering it in enough places. I don't see that happening right now because you need to check your address. If you have an address that it works on, amazing. Because the pricing, I didn't even get into that. Pricing is $50 a month if you're a Verizon customer. So if you're a Verizon customer, it's $50 a month. 100%, if it's available at your home today, sign up. Don't even hesitate. I think that would be an amazing thing to have at your house. Is this, not only is it a new cool service, but it's available where you are. And even if it's not, even if it's available at your house and you don't want it, call your cable company and use it as leverage for getting a better deal. I guarantee you, if you check your address on that website, thefirstonfiveg.com, and this Verizon 5G is available there, even if you don't want to switch, if you don't want to go through the whole rigmarole of having them come to your house and install this stuff, call up your cable company or whoever provides your internet and say, hey, excuse me, I've got this new 5G thing from Verizon available at my house, and I would like a better deal today, or else I'm dropping you and I'm going to that. Because guess what? It's $50 a month for unlimited bandwidth, by the way. There's no data caps, which I'm going to tell you right now, I know Verizon, and eventually all this stuff will change. The pricing will go higher. The data caps will be there. But right now, they're in a honeymoon phase. And they are offering this to get people on board because they want to stick it to all these companies out there and say, hey, look what we're doing here. You guys better be on your toes. And if you're not a Verizon customer, by the way, it's $70 a month, which is still a pretty good deal. You're also going to get your first 3 months free. And I don't know if that's, let's see. First 3 months free. That's for all customers. So 3 months free, $50 a month after that if you're Verizon. If you're not Verizon, that's $70. There's no contracts. There's no fees. There's no, the taxes and fees are included in the price right now. And there's no hardware costs. So they're going to come to your house, install this modem, and you're going to have this amazing new wireless internet at your house. And hopefully save some money, too. Now, I didn't mention the wireless modem is the size of a dump truck they have to put in your backyard. No, just kidding. Wouldn't that be funny if that was the catch to this whole thing? No, I really, if it's available where you are, I really think you need to try this out. You also get YouTube TV free for the first 3 months. And you also get a free Apple TV 4K or a Chromecast Ultra. Oh, my gosh. Does this get any better? But again. Is it available where you live? My guess is no. And like I said, I'm actually not giving Verizon the benefit of the doubt. I want to know where this is. Why do they not have a map of the areas where this is? You can't find one. They only show you check my address. And you can look on the Verizon website to see a picture of the modem that they're going to put in your house, or I guess the receiver. I don't even know. I guess it's a wireless modem, too. It's pretty big. They're showing it. They don't really show it like with measurements, but they do show it kind of like sitting on a table. And it looks pretty big, but it's not like you can't have it. I mean, the modems have gotten pretty big in general, but this one is, it's a little bit bigger than your wireless router that you have right now. But, Greg, I think that this is a huge step forward, especially when it comes to competition for these companies. Now, I get it. Everything starts out at a nice price and they end up, once everyone has it, it's going to go up. But already, Spectrum went on CNBC, the CEO of Spectrum, and, CNBC asked them about this because Verizon sort of surprised everyone by saying, hey, we're going to do this and we're doing it like very soon, October 1st. And the Spectrum CEO has already said, hey, you know what? We actually don't think that this is going to be a better solution than wired. And he may be right, because it's very complicated to do this solution, because the wireless, eventually it will work. But he's now talking about, get this, 10 gigabit internet connections through wired. But guess what? It took that push from Verizon doing this for Spectrum to say, okay, you know what? Now we're going to up our game. And the beauty for us customers at home is hopefully, in the end, we get a faster internet speed at a lower price. And if anything, like I said before, when I called Spectrum a couple weeks ago to bargain my price because they raised my thing by $20, the guy really knew that they had the lock in my area on the fast internet. So he really didn't want to negotiate too much. Now, if they get something better in my area, oh, they'll be negotiating. And you have to remember that. And by the way, if you're not calling your cable company once a year or your internet provider to renegotiate your rate, do it. Do it today. You will save money. You're listening to The Tech Guy, Rich DeMuro in today for the vacationing Leo Laporte. We've got much more ahead. We're going to talk to GizWiz coming up next. We've got some fun stuff to talk about with Dick DiBartolo and more of your calls after that. Rich DeMuro, the tech guy. Welcome back to the tech guy. Rich DeMuro with you here talking technology. Bringing on the show, Dick DiBartolo, one of my favorites, the gizwiz.biz. What's going on?
Leo.
I'm in for Leo today.
I know. No, it's great. No, it's so funny because I was listening to you as I was packing, Rich. On Monday, I have a 6 a.m. flight to Reno for Interbike, the latest in bikes and bike gadgets.
Oh, wow. That sounds fun.
Yeah, it's great. And I'm doing the same thing as you. I said, I'm just taking this little bag. It's 3 days. And as you were talking about it, I was sitting with a bunch of cables going, do I need a cable from my phone to the big screen TV? And then I said, I'm only taking one charger. And I go, oh, no, wait. LG is USB-C. I need a C charger. And you end up with a bag of cables and stuff.
And then I have only one thing, my hotspot, that is micro USB still, right? And so that I have to bring a micro USB, but it's so complicated. My micro USB, I transformed all my cables into USB-C to use with my MacBook so I can plug them in. But the problem is I only have one USB-C charging brick. So I can only plug in one thing at a time to charge them. Then I have to bring the big version of it. It's a whole mess.
It's a mess.
We're not here to talk about the mess. Let's talk about...
It's the mess. Okay, we're going to talk about a fun kit for kids. Now, Tinkering Lab sent me an email and said, Dick, if you're looking for holiday gifts, can we send you one of our lab kits so you can check it out? And I said, fine. It'd be great. So they sent a STEM kit. You know, STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. It's supposed to teach those things. There's also something called STEAM because other people thought, why is there not art in there? But STEAM and STEM, exactly. This is a STEM kit, and it is really neat. It's over 50 parts, and I do an unboxing, which I put up a link at the tech guy, and it is really great. So everything's in the box. The first thing I open the box in a little bag are two electric motors. I like this.
So cool.
Batteries for the motors. Little work goggles for the kids when they build their projects. the most fun thing, Rich, is a bag of rubber bands so that you can quickly build these kits and hold them together with rubber bands, play with them, and then unsnap them and build something else. Markers are in there because you can build a little robot that makes doodles. There's a
chair. I thought you were going to say
something else. a mini race car. And the funny thing is why I felt relieved to see rubber bands in there. I have boxes of rubber bands here because I hold a lot of projects together with rubber bands, A, while they dry. Two is sometimes I have to use a cable that doesn't really fit tightly. So I put the rubber band around the device and the cable. So as I run around, it doesn't fall out. So this kit is doing fairly well on Amazon, 4.6 stars out of 5 stars from, I think it was 28 reviewers, and a kit is $59.
Oh, now what age range would you suggest this for?
So they are saying from 8 to 12 is the body of the people they're aiming for. And then they said, of course, teenagers will love this. I mean, it's really neat. And the fact that you don't have to go out and buy anything additional, and you don't have to solder anything, so you don't have to worry about kids hurting themselves. And you're talking about things running on flashlight batteries.
Yeah, so are those included?
Yes, the batteries are in there too.
So how many things can you build with this?
They give you a thing called challenge cards with 10 things to build. But then on their website, they have a little 1-minute video where they gave the kits to kids and the kids built 16 different things. So the 10 that they show you how to build, and then just you take the parts and you build something different and have fun with it.
And what was it? Did you build anything? What was your favorite that you built?
No. My
To tell you the truth, so some people from an animal shelter came over, and they said, "What is that?" And I explained, and they said, "We're having an auction. Could you give that away? Can we auction that off for the animals?" I take it. Okay.
Oh, they're auctioning. Oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah. It's fun. Basically, I call the shelter every other month, and I say, "Come by my house, see everything I showed on the air." And if they like it and it's expensive, I call the manufacturer and I say, can we give this to a no-kill shelter? No one has ever said no.
I was going to say, who says no to that question? Oh, sorry. Do you mind if we help young children with this? No, we'd like that sent back to us so we can destroy it. You know, one PR person one time told me that all the phones that they got back from the reviewers, they had to destroy.
What?
Yeah, they would just get them. It was a big company, and because if you think about it, as a tech reviewer, you get these devices, and you know, usually get them on loan for a certain amount of time.
Yes, yeah.
But realistically, who wants to use something that you've already used? And think about it from the flip side. If I'm a company, right? Let's say I make a widget, right? I don't want to send you, Dick, a widget that someone else has already used, because what if they did something to it and messed it up and now you're reviewing it? So it doesn't even make sense, you know, So anyway, the company they wanted the stuff back, but they destroyed it because they just couldn't have it anywhere, I guess.
Yeah. No, my guess is if you're getting it back from a tech person, you don't want, for some reason, anything on there that they already erased it, they already set it back to factory specs. I don't think they want the responsibility that somehow something's on that phone they didn't catch.
I agree.
So they figure if we destroy it, and once I called the company, I said, "You want this back?" And he said, "Is it possible you could keep it?" He said, "If you send it back, we have to put it back in inventory. We have so much paperwork." He said, "If you can't use it, tell us you lost it."
It's a logistical nightmare if you send this back to us, and we don't want to deal with that.
Isn't that funny?
Oh, my gosh. That is funny. Yeah. How do we find this? What's this called again, and how do we find it?
It is called Tinkering Labs. So just go to gizwiz.biz, click on the Gizwiz Visits, the Tech Guy, and there are links there. And also on my website, there's a gadget. And we have a thing that we've been doing for 5 years now called Guess the Gadget. And if you guess what it is or make up a stupid thing of what it could be, you can get the current autographed issue of Mad Magazine. And we've been doing that for 5 years, giving away lots of Mads.
Very cool. And this website, the Tinkering Labs gadgets on there look really cool. So check it out. Awesome. We'll have fun in Reno.
Yes, sir. Oh, well, next week I'll have a gadget. I'm on with you next week. I'll bring back something from Interbike.
Who would have known there's an entire show dedicated to bikes? I guess it makes sense, but very cool.
Oh, yeah. Especially now.
Yeah.
Bikes are big.
All right, Dick DiBartolo.
Okay, buddy.
Thank you so much. Gizwiz.biz is his website. Thanks so much for joining us today. And man, so much there. It's just amazing. Like all the little things, like this whole STEM stuff. Like when I was a kid, there wasn't really a name. You know, there wasn't a name for being like a nerd. You know what I mean? Like, well, except nerd. But there wasn't like a name for it. Now with STEM, it's like you kind of know. And to me, if you're into that stuff as a kid, it's just such a cool thing. And I love it. I'm trying to get my kids into it. They love, you know, I have a lot of gadgets around the house, so they love seeing all that stuff. I'm Rich DeMuro. Thanks so much for listening to this edition of The Tech Guy. It has been my pleasure filling in for Leo Laporte. Thanks to Mike, Alex, John, and Colleen, and of course, Leo himself for letting me do this. I will see you guys tomorrow.
Well, that's it for The Tech Guy show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, TWIT, T-W-I-T, it stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.